It is 8:37 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
And I'm Antonia Yuhas.
And this is the final rush to get bills approved before the legislative session ends in Sacramento on Thursday at midnight. Among them, one of the most significant initiatives on the climate policy front this year, SB 100, would move the state towards getting 100% of its electricity from renewable sources. Now, this is a process the state has been moving forward on incrementally since 2002, when it passed its first renewable energy mandate. And there's a pattern that has repeated itself frequently since then, which is the state sets a target, imposes it on utilities, and finds out it is on track to reach that target ahead of schedule and imposes stricter ones. Still, a 100% renewable energy goal would be, needless to say, the most ambitious in the nation. We're joined in studio by one of the advocates who's been working on getting it passed. Laura Wisland is a senior energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Good morning.
Walk us through the mechanics of the bill. What is this going to change about the law? What is it going to mean for power providers?
Sure. So SB 100, it actually, let me make a slight distinction. It's not technically 100% renewables. It's 100% carbon-free power. And the reason why there's a distinction is because we have a law in the books today called the Renewables Portfolio Standard. And currently that requires that 50% of our electricity come from RPS-eligible renewables like solar, wind, geothermal, bioenergy by 2030. This bill would raise the RPS to 60% by 2030.
That's the Renewable Portfolio Standard.
And then it sets an additional goal of reaching 100% carbon-free power by 2045. So that remainder 40% could be met by RPS-eligible renewables like solar and wind and geothermal, or it could be met by other sources of power that don't count for the RPS but also don't emit carbon. For example, large hydropower. The state gets about 15% of its electricity right now from large hydropower, and nuclear would technically count as well.
Even though California has shut down all its nuclear power plants.
Well, Diablo Canyon is still running. It is on track to be shut down by 2025. We get about 10% of our power right now from nuclear. That's going to go down significantly once Diablo goes offline, but we still do get a fraction of imports from a nuclear power plant in Arizona.
Got it. So the line out of the energy industry, and we tried our best. We put in requests with Pacific Gas and Electric. They didn't return our calls. We reached out to a group that seems to be largely backed by the oil industry that's sending out press releases opposed to this bill, Californians for Affordable and Reliable Energy. They also did not return our request for an interview. Their argument has been that electricity is already too expensive in California. This will make it more expensive. What's your response?
Actually, my response is that when you look at all the prices of building new power plants, renewables right now, solar and wind in particular, are cheaper to build than a new natural gas plant or certainly a new nuclear plant. And so, happily, renewables are not only the cleanest option on the table for new power sources, but also the most cost effective. So I don't think this is going to raise electricity prices.
So right now we still get a certain percentage of electricity generation from imported coal. What percentage is that right now?
It's a small fraction. It's about 6%. Okay. And that also is going to be phased out. So we passed another bill in 2006 that said that any long-term contracts we have with coal plants are not to be renewed. So a lot of that coal, mostly coming into Southern California right now, is going to be phased out by the early 2020s.
Do we already have in California enough electricity, the capacity to generate enough electricity from wind and solar that we're ready to replace what we would shift from other sources?
So our biggest shift is going to be turning down the natural gas. We get about a third of our electricity right now from natural gas. So the importance of SB 100 is that this sets the table for the conversation on how we're going to do that. And we think it's critical to do that. Climate change is probably the biggest threat that we're facing in terms of our economy and public health and general well-being, both for, you know, our country, our state, and our world. And we also know that getting off fossil fuels and powering our electricity needs with clean, carbon-free sources of power is probably one of the most important things we can do to address climate change. So we need to have that conversation. And we're not going to have the conversation about how to go all the way and turn off all the fossil fuel until we have policy support like SB 100 to do it. We have most of the tools already to get to 100%. It's, you know, no place in the world yet has actually done that. California is not afraid to be a leader on these issues. And like Brian mentioned, when we set goals, we consistently overachieve them and achieve them ahead of schedule. So I have no doubt that by 2045, we're going to figure out a way to do this.
Yeah. But like the natural gas is an interesting conundrum. The state built a wave of new gas-fired power plants in the early aughts after the energy crisis. And they're typically built for and financed for an operating life of at least 30 years. To meet the goals in this plan, would they have to be shut down ahead of schedule?
Some of them probably will be shut down ahead of schedule. Some of them are being shut down ahead of schedule right now. So you're right. We did build a lot of natural gas in the late 90s and early aughts. But we also got really serious about renewables, and the cost of renewables came down. So we were also bringing online a lot of renewables in the early aughts and middle 2000s as well. So we're getting to the point where renewables and gas are starting to come to a head. And some of the gas is being shut down because we simply don't need it anymore. It's not economic to run those plants.
What is the move within the bill? So right now it says sustainable energy, as you've described, that could mean nuclear power, that could mean natural gas. Tell us about the behind-the-scenes fight to make this 100% renewable energy, and how close are we to having, you know, the movement be to that as opposed to sustainable energy?
Well, I think that it's important to keep the legislative language as broad as possible, just not so that we don't fall into the trap of spending a lot of time arguing about what counts. It's important to do the first step, which is to set that big overarching inspirational goal. Once SB 100 passes, fingers crossed, we will have the discussion about what's the most cost-effective combination of resources that's going to get us to that ultimate goal of 100% carbon-free. What does that glide path away from fossil fuel look like? How do we do that in the most reliable way, the most socially equitable way, and the way that's going to be most cost-effective for our electricity customers?
Speaking of Laura Wisland, she is a senior energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists, one of many, many environmental organizations that are backing SB 100, which may come up for its final vote on the state assembly floor as early as this afternoon. You talk a little bit about the balance of power in Sacramento. Who fights initiatives like this? How much traction do they have in state politics?
Well, I mean, as you said, you asked PG&E to come speak today about the bill. I think PG&E is, well, I know that they're not supporting the bill. They have supported renewable energy initiatives in the past. I think at this point they're really focused on wildfire liability issues. I don't want to characterize their opposition, but, you know, the utilities generally don't like being told what to do. And again, SB 100 is a combination of a mandate. It would require that all the utilities in the state reach 50% RPS, so renewable portfolio standard eligible renewables by 2030, but then sets that larger term goal of 2045. I think that traditional groups that are representing large scale energy consumers are just always thinking about electricity costs and tend to not support any initiative that rocks the boat at all in terms of business as usual electricity production.
That's interesting. I was trying to figure out why there appeared to be so many oil industry organizations investing and lobbying against this. I guess that's because refineries are huge electricity consumers?
They are, and they do generate some of their own electricity, but they also purchase some as well. So they're thinking about electricity rates.
Aren't they also thinking about what type of regulation could be that they could be next for? So the largest standing source of greenhouse gas emissions in the state are refineries, are oil and gas refineries. Are they? Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. And that actually reminds me of something else. One of the other reasons why we're so excited about SB 100 is because, you know, we've made a lot of progress to reduce carbon associated with traditional electricity production, in large part because of the success we've had bringing online renewable energy. The biggest source of greenhouse gas emissions and air pollution in the state comes from transportation. cars and trucks. That's really our next big fight. One of the key ways to reduce pollution in that sector is going to be transitioning those cars and trucks away from petroleum and towards electricity. And we want that electricity to be as clean as possible.
And the largest, so I was saying, a stationary source is the oil and gas refineries. So the other piece of this then is transportation, obviously key, shifting away from fossil fuels, but then getting at those oil and gas refineries that are creating all this greenhouse gas emissions and pollution and smog is the other piece of the equation, which is the production side. So keeping fossil fuels in the ground. You know, where is that part of the discussion fitting in? One of the things that I've looked at as concern for the sort of long-term future with fossil fuels is that they're also seeing the writing on the wall about electricity generation, about transportation, and they're looking towards petrochemicals and the making of plastics as their next big, you know, so their next big investment. This is what we're going to produce oil and natural gas for, is to make billions and billions, billions of dollars in plastics. And so looking at the equation of also just simply stopping the production of oil and gas, and where is that fitting into this, you know, equation of negotiations at the Capitol?
I don't think it's fitting explicitly into the conversations we're having around SB 100, because that's really about the electricity sector. But I think it's part of this larger conversation that California is having, because it's a climate leader, because we're facing very imminent threats of climate change, as we can see from the wildfires, because the governor is putting together this climate summit in the fall. We are having a larger discussion about how to reduce emissions across all sectors of the economy and do so in a way that, you know, makes sense for our economy and grows jobs. So I do think that spending some time, I think that once we figure out what our glide path away from fossil fuels is in the electricity sector, we are going to need to turn more of our attention towards larger industrial stationary sources of energy production.
Well, I look at the legislative record here. As it's made its way through assembly committees, this bill has passed by 2-1 margins everywhere it's been up for a vote, which seems to indicate the critical point is going to be Governor Jerry Brown here. As I said, the lobbying offensive against it seems to be largely coming from the oil sector. Jerry Brown has on occasion been quite accommodating of the oil industry's desires in California. Do you know where he's going to land on this bill if it hits his desk?
You know, I don't want to speak for the governor, but I can say that he's been an ardent supporter of clean energy policies over the years, and he is putting together this climate summit, and we expect that you know, if SB 100 passes the legislature, him signing that bill is going to be a keystone achievement to help show California how we are an example as a climate leader moving forward.
That's the Global Climate Action Summit beginning in less than 2 weeks, the week of September the 10th. I believe the official start date is September 13th. There's a coalition of international and national and state groups organizing to push the governor and all those attending the summit to go beyond what's currently being promised and take really aggressive action to address climate injustice and address the climate. And those events start even earlier with a big march on September the 8th taking place in San Francisco. Is there a concern that SB 100, for its exceptionally laudable goals, doesn't go far enough for what we need right now and what might be possible to achieve right now?
Well, I mean, I don't think that it goes far enough to address everything that we need to address to stave off the worst impacts of climate change. You know, as I said before, this really focuses on the electricity sector. We know that clean sources of electricity are going to be key to reducing emissions across different sectors of the economy, most importantly, transportation. So I think it's a huge first step, but California definitely cannot stop once it passes SB 100. We have still a lot more work to do.
And the actual targets in the bill, the target is 100% renewable or 100% carbon free by 2045. 2045 is still 27 years away. Are you happy with that level of ambition, or is that a compromise? Is that a deadline you'd like to see tightened?
Well, I think that I'm happy that we are ratcheting up our current requirement, because we know we're going to surpass 50% renewables by 2030. We're already on track to surpass that. So I think it makes a lot of sense to ratchet that up to 60% by 2030. by 2030, we know we can go faster. In terms of how do we get from 60% renewables to 100% carbon free in 15 years, I think I'm comfortable with setting the legislation like that and then having an open-ended conversation with the energy agencies once we get into the implementation phase about what that pathway should look like. Like, you know, we said before, California always seems to surpass its goals and move faster than it thinks it can. I feel very confident that we're going to be able to do that again. And I think that the legislation has enough flexibility in it that we could move faster if we want to. And in fact, some cities and some utilities have already made a pledge to go to 100% even faster than 2045. So there's nothing in this legislation that ties anybody's hands to move faster if they want to.
But to the cost argument that's being advanced by the business organizations I mentioned earlier, if California moves so aggressively that it's mothballing a bunch of relatively new fossil fuel burning power plants, natural gas plants, that is going to create stranded assets. It's going to create costs. Those will be passed on to ratepayers, won't they?
Well, it depends on who owns the power plant. So if a utility owns the power plant and that power plant is being basically paid for by electricity customers, then you could be dealing with some stranded asset issues. And that certainly is the case for some publicly owned utilities that own power plants that were built in the late 90s and early 2000s. But a lot of our natural gas fleet in California is actually owned by independent power producers, just independent companies. And so if those plants decide to shut down early, that's their financial loss.
How big of a fight do you see looming over those who want to keep natural gas as part of this sustainable energy portfolio and those who want to shift as quickly as possible to 100% renewables?
I think that the conversation has been heating up recently about what the role of natural gas will be in California's near-term future and what the glide path away from natural gas looks like and how quickly we can do that. So I don't think that the natural gas industry is going to go down without a fight. But I also think we have very, very strong tools to prove that we have cost-effective alternatives to natural gas right now. I'm not saying that we can turn off all the natural gas tomorrow, but we can turn a lot of it off. And a bill like SB 100, which sets the table for the discussion about how you turn it all off, really helps us have that productive conversation about what that glide path looks like.
There is a concern environmental justice groups have had with California's renewable portfolio standards, and I believe it holds under this bill too, which is it includes in its definition of renewable energy, energy that comes from burning trash, landfill incineration. That produces a lot of concerns about toxic emissions for the communities that are close to the point of incineration. How did that make it into the definition? It's not a very widespread practice in California.
So it's actually, there is only one municipal solid waste incinerator that actually counts as RPS eligible renewables. It's in Stanislaus County. It was grandfathered in as part of the discussion in the early aughts. I'm actually not sure why that one incinerator made it into the bill, but that is the only one that actually counts. You can't, aside from that facility, you can't burn trash and create electricity and call that renewable.
You mean you couldn't start a new landfill incinerator project?
Correct.
Interesting.
Someone just got their project grandfathered in somewhere. Someone's going to have to track down that legislative record to see who made that deal and try and undo that deal. How confident do you feel in passage today and that this SB 100 is going to become law, if not today, in the near future?
I'm really excited about the prospects of this bill. I've been really encouraged by the dialogue in the legislature. I think there's a lot of optimism that we can move faster. I think that our state has just really matured very quickly in terms of our understanding of how far and how fast we can move with renewable energy, how cost-effective it is these days. So I feel pretty confident that we're going to make it over the finish line.
All right. Laura Wisland, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Laura Wisland is a senior energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists, one of the many environmental organizations trying to secure passage of SB 100, which would put California on a track to producing 100% carbon-free electricity by the year 2045.